Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Is this rain or what? Well, God is obviously blessing our congregation. I saw a national on the news, Jerry Blaze was actually on the news, and I thought that was super exciting. Unfortunately, the newscast didn't give God the glory, but we know why Jerry Blaze is alive today. And I guess Jerry Lindsay is doing well also. He's starting to respond, and so that's really great news. And I say praise the Lord. So praise the Lord for you guys being able to get here today. So let's open with just a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that we are able to come here today and worship you together. Just so look forward to it. We just ask your blessing on our service. We ask your blessing on each and every member of our church family, where you would put your hedge of protection around them and keep them healthy and safe. And we just thank you for the pastor this morning, as he's been diligent, and also Pastor Kate, that they've been diligent to keep the church running. Lord, we just thank you for both of them. We ask your blessing on them. We do thank you for this time together. Praise you and honor you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So let's stand. We're going to start out with standing on the promises. I don't know how easy it's going to be for you guys to stand on that side. Because I've tried it. I can't breathe. But anyway, I have trouble breathing when I don't have a mask on.
Thank you. that's it for the next one, you can. We're going to be doing Lord, I Need You. I'll need all that army to come out there to kill the two of us.
Well, good morning, church family.
Good morning. Good morning.
Been waiting 8 weeks to say that. It actually having someone respond, I guess. Thank you to everyone who are here this morning, and glad that you could join us. I know for many it was a difficult decision, one way or another, whether you're here physically in the building or if you're joining us watching at home this morning. But before we do begin, let's go ahead and just open up in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this beautiful morning. Lord, we thank you that we can gather not only in this building, Lord, I do thank you for each and every one that has come, and Lord, I know it is difficult to be spaced as believers, to not be able to shake a hand or to hug or just to show our love one for another in a common love that we have through Jesus Christ. But Lord, we can assemble in the same building, and Lord, we're thankful for that. Thank you for the music that has gone up heavenward, and that as we continue to worship this morning, as we open up your word, Lord, it would be very much an encouragement to us. And we want to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 6. As we continue on in the Sermon on the Mount, and as I've pastored for many years, it's amazing how as you walk through the Word of God, that certain texts end up being just undeniably timely. And one of those texts happens to be the one that we're going to be taking a look at, actually for the next 4 weeks. Yes, I did say 4 weeks. Because we're going to be considering the word or the thing of actually being anxious. Because this next section in Matthew actually speaks about, or actually is a command to not be anxious. Jesus saw that this was of such great importance that he gave actually quite a bit of information just right here in the Sermon on the Mount. As we end up taking a look at this, I think it's going to be an encouragement to you based off of where we are even in our country today as we face a lot of unknowns as well as things that we're doing that are different. But, you know, when we think about worry or anxiety, we end up worrying about a lot of things. You know, and I picked a few things here, and you can see on the screen if you're with us this morning, that we worry about things like money. You know, am I going to have enough money? Am I going to be able to pay the electric bill next month? Am I going to be able to buy groceries? Maybe because you've been out of work, maybe because you're experiencing the fact that you actually have had the virus and have had to be in the hospital. You know, how the hospital bill is going to be paid for. There's all kinds of anxious thoughts that can come in relation to money. And, you know, right along those same lines is health. You know, for, you know, quite a while, not even still, people are very anxious as to whether or not they are going to get this virus and what kind of effect it will have upon them. But we worry in relation to relationships, our jobs, our family, and you fill in the blank. Because even in our own individual experience, we have a lot of things that we worry about. We get anxious over. And I think you're going to be surprised in relation to what Jesus is going to remind us in the Sermon on the Mount. And I think it's pretty much common sense to some extent. The question is how do you do it? Because you know, every situation we find ourselves in is an opportunity to worry or not to worry. Even further, that is the question. And it doesn't matter what it is. You know, even as I was talking this morning and as we were preparing for everyone to come, you know, I had to practice when I was ready to preach because I was anxious, you know, about people coming. You know, is everything going to be the way it's going to be? You know, is any of the local officials going to show up and see if we're following the, you know, executive orders? All kinds of things of that sort. Not that we're in any way, you know, doing anything wrong. It's just that, you know, a lot of times we're geared to just get anxious and worry about things that may or may never happen. And so Jesus knows this and he wants to speak to this. Jesus wants us as his children to know the freedom from anxiety and what it is like. To be free from it. And we can be free from anxiety. And it's not by some simple five-step thing that I'm going to tell you. It's not by taking a pill. It is basically obeying what the Word of God says and remembering who your God is. And we're going to find that as we take a look at our text this morning. We're going to be able to embrace what the psalmist said in Psalm 94:19, when he says, when the cares, or actually use the word anxieties here in the Hebrew, when the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. Because the thing is that there's going to be things that are going to tempt you to get anxious, to tempt you to worry, to go to the place that sometimes for some of us is an automatic default. And the thing is that we can have victory and freedom over that. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to discover, actually, we study this, a very sobering truth. And that truth is that when we are unwilling to trust God and His power in everyday life, but insist on choosing to be anxious, we are actually offending God and His character. And that's what we're going to find out here in this text, because Jesus starts to point out things as He actually gives us 8 reasons right here in His sermon, which, you know, the common conception is that 3 points is about all people can take. But Jesus spoke to this enough for us to understand just how serious it is that we trust God, but also the fact that we really all do battle with this. Even the best person at some point is going to get anxious over something. You know, just imagine being in an airplane and all of a sudden the engine shut down. I can guarantee you a lot of people are going to get anxious and worried all of a sudden. The fact is, it's part of life, and Jesus wants us to have freedom from it, to have victory over it. So today, we're not going to look at all 8 reasons, because we would be here for a long time. And I want to be sensitive to the fact that you're here wearing masks this morning. And so we're going to look at the first 2 here as we take a look at verses 25 and 26. So the first thing that Jesus teaches here in the Sermon on the Mount is that we should, says, do not be anxious, because God, who is our master, most assuredly provides. There's a lot of times our worry is over provision as to what are we going to do? How are we going to make this happen? And God wants us to know, Jesus wants us to know, that we should not be anxious because of who our master is. And know that He will most surely provide. Verse 25 says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? So Jesus' point here that you need to remember as we take a look at this first reason why we should not be anxious is that when we worry, we miss the fact that our God always provides. Okay, let me say that again. When we worry, we miss the fact that our God always provides. So let's take a look at a couple of the words here and the phrases in verse 25. The first word I want you to notice is the word therefore. As I was going to school, one of the things that they always taught us was is when you see the word therefore, you always got to ask the reason, why is it therefore? And it's a good question to ask, because, again, we always have to remember the context. And, you know, when we think about the word therefore, we can actually translate it, for this reason, do not be anxious. Okay, well, what is it speaking to? Right here at the beginning of the verse, it says, you know, therefore I tell you. All right, so we have to go back to what we've already looked at, to review, because that is what's going to give us the reason why we should not be anxious, and particularly in relation to knowing that God is going to provide everything for us that we need. It takes us back to verses 19 through 24. And you remember, we're supposed to have one treasure, one focus, and one master. Because we can't be serving two masters, because we're either going to hate the one and love the other, or we're going to be devoted to the one and despise the other. You know, we only can focus on one thing at a time. And whether that's light coming in or darkness, we have to remember that our eyes are the lamps of our body. And the fact that we can only have one treasure in one place at one time. And so it's either in heaven or it's on earth. And we know that the treasure we should be laying up for ourselves in glory to God and His treasures in heaven. But you'll notice that The therefore is therefore to remind us that because God is your master, I tell you, do not be anxious. Right? And that's the premise for what Jesus is getting ready to teach us. Because as we take a look at the word anxious, we need to know what it means, more than it being just a feeling of just uneasiness. But as we take a look at this word in the Greek, it's actually in the active voice. Now, the reason I tell you this is because everyone that Jesus is speaking to here, as it's shown in the Greek, is already in the state of being anxious. So this is not, you know, someone saying, well, you know what, that's okay because it's probably speaking to someone who's not anxious. No, this pertains to you and me today. Because there at any point, and maybe even if you're sitting here right now, you're anxious. Okay? And so what Jesus is saying is, and what he's commanding to be is that you not be anxious. Stop worrying and don't ever go there again. That's what we are supposed to be to look at in relation to this word anxious. Actually, the root word for this in Greek means to divide into parts. And if you look up the word anxious in the regular American dictionary, you know, one of the definitions is greatly worried. And then if you look up the word worried in the dictionary, you're going to find another definition where it actually says this as an actual definition for the word worries. The action of hounds tearing into pieces the carcass of a fox. So that's what happens when we are anxious. It tears us apart. It tears us apart from the one who is our master, because we are going to a place that we should not go. And we're missing out on the blessing of realizing who God is, remembering something about God and His character. Because remember, when we're unwilling to trust God and His power in everyday life and choose to be anxious, we are actually offending God and His character. Because we're forgetting some aspect of who He is when we worry. And the thing is, if God is our master, if He is the one who has bought and paid for us through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, then we have something that we should never worry about. The text goes on to say, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? See, the point here is that, you know, if God is the one who made you, if He knit you in your mother's womb, if He is the one who provided Jesus Christ as your Savior, you put your faith and trust in Him, then the very life that He breathed, or the very body that He breathed life into, do you think that God's not going to take care of you, particularly if you're one of His children? Well, that's what we're saying. Even though we're not using the words, but when we become anxious about things and we think that God's not going to supply what we need when we need it, that's exactly what we're doing. See, one who worries is doubting God's promises and His provisions. Now listen to the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. He says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Whatever situation I'm in. How can Paul pen those words, proclaim those words, personalize those words, if he's worried? Because when you're worrying, are you content in that moment? I'm not. But the truth is that Paul knows what it means to be in need, and he says it doesn't matter what situation he's in, it doesn't matter what the parameters are, what the circumstances are, that he knows how to be content. Because he's trusting in the God who is his master, and not making the fatal mistake of offending God and His character by being anxious, no matter what the situation was. And as you read Paul in the New Testament, you know some of the situations he was in. And for him to be able to say this with clarity of mind, of heart, and of being, gives a testimony to the fact that you and I today can have exactly the same freedom to be content in the God who is our master. Never remind you of one of God's names, because this is what happens when we become anxious, we forget the name of God. Jehovah Jireh. which means our God will provide. It goes back to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. You know the story where Abraham has to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And Abraham is obedient. He does everything that God says. He prepares the altar. He prepares the sacrifice by putting his son on that altar. And what does God do? Because God is who he is, he supplies the need. Now that was a testing to see what Abraham would do. Was Abraham going to trust in the God who provides? Or was he going to get anxious and decide that this is not for me, I'm not going to do this? Well, we know what the text proclaimed. He showed his faith and his obedience to God. And the thing is that even when we can't see it or know how it's going to happen, remember, God will provide. Say that with me. God will provide. So do not be anxious, because God, who is our master, most assuredly provides. Second, takes us to verse 26. Do not be anxious, because God values you. It says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So Jesus' point here is that when we worry, we hold in low esteem our value. And I'm going to unpack that a little bit for us here. Look at the phrase that says, look at the birds of the air. Okay, we just entered into spring, and we were watching as the birds are, more visibly visible, and they're gathering food, they're gathering things to build nests to have, next, generation of baby birds come into to being. And as you look at them, do you see any of them standing around with their I guess it's not a town anyway. Birds, but doing this. I don't know where I'm going to get food from. Standing there and worrying. Or do you see any of them going up on the barn tops of any of the barns around here, looking at the farmer saying, well, come on, what are you going to do? I need to have food. Plant some food. No, you don't see them that. See, birds don't plant the food that they eat. Birds don't tend to the food or harvest it into barns. But you'll notice it says that yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Think about it. Every strawberry or worm that a robin eats is provided by the God who provides. Every mosquito and fly that a barn swallow consumes, God provides. So as you look at the birds of the air, realize that as small as they are, even up to the biggest bird, or a predatory bird, God provides for them. He takes care of their needs. And so Jesus asks a rhetorical question. He says, are you not of more value than they? So, what's the answer to that? Are you more valuable than the birds of the sky? Yes. And the answer to that question is absolutely yes. I mean, we can appeal right off the bat that we're created in the image of God. And even as beautiful and resourceful as birds are, as you see them flying around and doing their thing, we are so much more precious and valuable than they are. And so what Jesus is saying is that if my heavenly Father, your master, takes care of the birds of the air, he is going to take care of you, because you are of far greater value. Let me give you some reasons why. Because as believers in Jesus Christ, we are bought with the precious blood of Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, knowing that you were ransomed from your futile ways, inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. That, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. So yes, you are more valuable, because Jesus did not die for the birds of the air or any creature on this planet. Jesus Christ died for you. He shed his blood for you. So yes, you are of more value than the birds of the air. We become heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit doesn't do that to the birds of the air. God still takes care of their needs, but the Spirit lets us know that we belong to God, that we are God's children. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. As those who are heirs, do we have more value than the birds of the air? Yes, we do. And the third is we are conformed into the image of God's Son, Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. It says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." Are you called according to God's purpose? Yes, you are. And you've been bought and paid for. "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers." So the thing is that, yes, like the birds of the air, we're here on earth, but this is not our final destination. We are eternal beings, which is something birds cannot claim, because they don't have a soul. We do. So we are of more value than the birds of the sky. And may I close by giving you this verse to chew on until our time we get together again. "But as those who have value far above all the rest of creation, that was very good when He created man in His image." It says in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." That's what we need to remember. That's why we should not be anxious, because God values you above all. And just like the birds of the air are active and are foraging for food, which God does provide, but the birds don't stand there with their beaks opened up into the sky waiting for things to fall into their mouths. And so the same principle is true here in relation to anxiety with us. We must actively cast all of our anxieties on the Lord. Don't hold on to them. Don't give them a foothold. And remember that God is your master, and He's going to provide, because He is Jehovah Jireh. And don't be anxious, because God values you above all the rest of His creation. Let's bow for a closing word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this text this morning. We thank You for the importance of realizing who You are. Lord, we don't intentionally want to offend You or to call into question Your character. But when we forget who You are, when we do not act upon what we know to be true about You, but instead go to those things that cause us to fret and to worry and to be filled with all kinds of anxiety as to what may happen or what will happen or what do I do, how do I handle this, all those things, Lord, You are right there with us as those who have great value, as the One who is our Master, the One we have a singular focus upon. And You want us to experience the freedom from anxiety. And so, Lord, help us to see that You do provide, and that we have value enough that You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die, to shed His blood for us, to bring us into the fold, as it were, as children, as heirs, and may we give You the honor and the glory as You give us victory over anxiety and worries and things that we fret over, even in this coming week. We do thank You, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name.